You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. Thank God it's Friday. TGIF, praise God, end of the week. What better way to usher in this weekend here than hearing the Word of God, sitting under the Word of God. We're going to have an awesome time here today. We're going to be transported now into God's throne room. That's where we're at here in the book of Revelation. Maybe the most awesome thing of all the book of Revelation is this chapter 4, immediately after the church age. And that's where we're going to pick it up here momentarily. First off, before we get started here in our ongoing verse-by-verse series in the book of Revelation, I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. Now, Island Community Church, if you're looking for a new church home, if you're not hearing or receiving the Word of God at wherever you're going now, I invite you to attend one of our services. If you listen to this program, you know what to expect. Because this program, for the most part, you hear the sermons which are preached here at this church. Now, this weekend, we're starting a 5-week series on Moses, the man of God. So that's where we're starting here this week. Next week, we'll look at Moses and the burning bush. The following week, Moses and the name of God. The following week, Moses and the 10 plagues of Egypt. And then lastly, Moses walks to his own funeral. So those are some of the things. We'll have one of those rare character study series here. Normally it's book studies, and this is one of those rare times we're going to go off from that and look at this man, Moses, the man of God. That starts this Sunday morning at 10:30. We would love to see you. Look for the podcast as well shortly after. You'll hear that on the radio here mid-next week here on WWBC and WMIE Radio, whether it's 7:30 a.m. or 5:30 in the afternoon. Also, the video of the sermon will be on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church YouTube page. The sermons are uploaded on there by 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So, okay, let's backpedal a verse or two. Revelation chapter 4, we're looking at this, at God's bodyguards, I've called them. Now, why does God need a bodyguard? He's God. Well, when we get to chapter 12, we're going to see that demons, Satan, and his minions still, for some unknown reason, they still have access to heaven. So let me read that to you, Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That's Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 8. Verse 9, it says, and that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, why is there bodyguards? Why is there four awesome beings surrounding Jehovah, sitting on his throne in heaven? Perhaps this is a reason. These seem to be God's bodyguards. There's these awesome, awesome-looking beings. Greek word zoa, where the word zoo comes from. They're living beings. Yesterday we read at where you can perhaps see these beings in another place in the Bible, back in the Old Testament. And if you go to, where is that? That is Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. You can read more about God's bodyguards, as I like to call them. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 9. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. Mostly, we're going to look at chapter 5 today. Now, when the living beings give glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, the Holy One, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So that's it here for chapter 4. Let's move on here to chapter 5 and pick it up right here from the top. And again, I'm reading from my Bible translation, which is the EMTV, English Majority Text Version. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, having been written inside and outside, and having been sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven above or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll, nor to look at it. And I began to weep much, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll, nor to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold,'" or you could say, "don't cry. Don't even sweat it. We got this covered. There is indeed someone who is worthy and is able to open up this scroll and to break the seals on this." Remember, it's like seal, like in the old days, sealed with the king's signet ring. They would put hot wax and he would dip his ring on there. And only the person to whom it was written to, the letter that is, was able to open that under penalty of death. Well, now you have this scroll. Let's call this scroll the title deed to planet Earth. And it's been sealed with God's signet ring. And now they can't find anyone that has the authority to loose the seals that keep this scroll closed. And John's upset about that. And he starts crying about that, that here's this important scroll, and here there's no one here that has the authority to open this. And he starts crying, and the angel says to him, "Don't cry, John." Then he says, "Behold," meaning check this out, "behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome to open the scroll and its seven seals. And in the midst of the throne and of the four living beings, and in the midst of the elders," remember the 24 elders, their thrones around there, "stood a lamb as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are," you see, now you don't have to guess what it means. Anytime we read into difficult things to understand, more often than not, he gives us the understanding. He tells you what this means. Let's keep reading. "So in the midst of the throne and in the four living beings and in the midst of the elders, a lamb stood as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Then he came and took out of the right hand of him," a capital H, that's Jehovah, God the Father. "Then he came and he took out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne." So remember what we've said all along here. Understand the symbols and you'll understand the vision. understand the vision and you'll understand the book. Understand the book is because you have ears to hear, unlike the 6 billion people out here in the world today. Understand that, and you've got ears to hear today if you hear his voice, the Bible says, then do not harden your hearts, but call on the name of the Lord, because time is short. Understand the symbol, understand this, then you'll understand. Hear the word of God. Do you want to take part in this incredible scene? Do you want to witness all of this like John did? The Apostle Paul witnessed some of this, and he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, he says, I know such a man, speaking of himself, that is, I know such a man, how he was caught up into paradise. That word caught up is where our word rapture comes from, harpazo, snatched away, caught up, same as Enoch was caught up. He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. 2 Corinthians 12, 3 and 4. It was against the law for Paul to say and tell us what he saw, but you can have a part of it as well by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a part of this. Church, the alternative to heaven is outer darkness, where all of the God-haters out here in the world are going. Now, here in verse 6, Jesus is this Lamb that we see in God's throne room. The Lamb of God, as John the Baptist called him, remember? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And this Lamb, the Lamb of God, indeed, was slain like the Passover lamb was slain. Notice too that this lamb still bears the marks of being slain, even in heaven. You see, what he did will always be seen. It's the only man-made thing in heaven. Do you know that? It's the only man-made thing you'll find in heaven, and that is the scars on the hands and the side and the feet of the Savior. Still evident, apparently, even to this day. It was evident to John here. But again, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. You understand who the Lamb is, and that's going to come through understanding other books of the Bible. Understanding the Lamb is understanding the book of Exodus, understanding the Passover, understanding it, how the blood will protect you. And for us, how the blood will redeem us. We understand. You can't understand the book of Revelation without understanding this. You got to understand what the Passover means. You have to understand what the sacrifice is. You have to understand, I guess that's Leviticus, is it? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That can be either or both, the Lamb that was slain or the other Lamb that they laid on him, the iniquity of us all, and they sent him out into the wilderness. Understand that. Understand these other books, and you'll understand this better, this Lamb that has been slain, this Passover Lamb, the scapegoat Lamb. The Lamb of God, indeed, who takes away by shedding his own blood and takes away by being the scapegoat, that is the innocent bystander who did no wrong, and God laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the Lamb. Understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. And when we get to chapter 13, and where we see this false prophet, where he says, behold, I saw someone with two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. You see, you guys are armed for and loaded for bear now to understand that, because we've just looked at both of those here in this last 14 minutes today. You know who the lamb is. You understand its significance and the slaughter of the lamb and the blood of the lamb. And you understand from us just reading Revelation chapter 12, who the dragon is. So when you get to chapter 13, and when you read, I saw someone, a beast, with two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon, you know and understand this is a counterfeit Christian. Maybe the man's going to call himself Elijah. He's going to deceive those that dwell on the earth. Chapter 19, verse 20 is going to flat out call him the false prophet. That's not my interpretation. It's going to call him that when we see his demise in chapter 19. There's no stopping this. As for this scroll, again, let's call this scroll the title deed to planet Earth. There's no stopping this from happening. Once the Lamb loosens the seals on this title deed to planet Earth, there's no stopping this. This will usher in and bring in the tribulation when going on up there in heaven. The Lamb of God takes the scroll out of the hand of Jehovah, God the Father, and starts loosing these seals. In our next program, we'll see what happens once this happens. So what are these things? Seven horns and seven eyes. What do they represent? Well, seven horns represents strength. Let's call him all-powerful. Seven eyes represents all-seeing. He sees all. Remember, the Holy Spirit, where is that in the Bible? I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 maybe. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world. So that's all-seeing. So he certainly has got my attention. How about yours today on this Friday? This entire scene has my undivided attention. The Son of God approaches the throne, takes the title deed, takes the scroll of the things which must come to pass. Remember, he said that yesterday. The things which must be hereafter, after the church age. Verse 8, now when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, I keep saying in all these chapters, how cool is that? How cool is that? How cool is that? Well, check this one out, friend. Your prayers, since you are one of these saints, look at who is in charge here on this Friday morning or Friday afternoon. I put it to you today. Look at who is in charge of collecting your prayers and offering them up to God as a sweet-smelling savor and aroma, none other than God's personal bodyguards are in charge. The mob, this heavenly mob, these mobsters, God's bodyguards, they're the ones in charge. And these 24 Presbyterians, these guys are all in charge of this. They have golden bowls filled with incense, and the incense, that is the smelly good stuff, is your prayer. So let me encourage you, don't lose heart. Keep on praying. Don't give up praying when maybe you don't see the result yet, but just take to heart here today on this Friday. What happens? Like they say, they call that inside baseball. It's a glimpse at things that you and I normally just don't have access to. But take this with you here today. Look at what happens to the prayers of the saints. Now, you are one of the saints. A saint is not someone you pray to when you lose your wallet or you're flying on an airplane. A saint is you. The saint, hagiosmos, it means one that is sanctified and set apart, and that is you. When you believe and receive in Jesus Christ, you are one of the saints. You've been set apart. You've been set apart from this evil world. That's why you're different. That's why you feel different. That's why you feel like a pilgrim and a stranger here in this evil world, because you've been set apart. You are a saint. A saint is someone set apart. God calls out to you today. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, says the Lord Almighty. This is what a saint is, and you are a saint. And look here today at what happens to your prayers even now as we speak. When Jesus took the scroll, the four living creatures, that's God's bodyguards, I like to call them, the four living creatures and the 24 presbyteros fall down before the Lamb, each having a harp and having golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and you redeemed us." Now, remember, he's talking to the elders, so this shows you that these guys need redemption. They're not angels. They're not angelic beings. They are men. They were men who died, who were Christ followers, Christians, who needed redemption. And out of his own mouth, he's going to tell us that they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That narrows down our interpretation of these 24 elders to one group. They're believers. They're Christ followers. They were redeemed by the blood. Verse 9 again. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and you redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and language and people and nation. And," he's not done yet, "you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on the earth." So that is the testimony from these 24 elders here. You redeemed us to God by your blood from amongst people throughout the whole world, right? Out of every tribe, out of every language, out of every people, out of every nation. These are the redeemed of the Lord. The 24 elders are the redeemed of the Lord. You redeemed us to God by your own blood. And you've made us kings and priests. And we will reign on the earth. Verse 11, then I looked, and I heard, as it were, the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living beings, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and 1,000,000s, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and the wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's let that be our doxology here today, Friday, as we sign off here for today. What a scene this is up in heaven. My question is to you today, here on this Friday, will you be a part of this scene? This is for all Christ followers. That is, everyone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ will be a part of this scene. But that's just future glory. But you have much greater things promised for you here right now. And that is to be born again. That is to have all of your sins forgiven. To be born again means to be born from above. It means God will replace your heart of stone that you have and replace it with a heart of flesh, sensitive heart. You'll be one spirit with the Lord. God promises to forgive you of all of your sins and to remember them no more. You'll finally have peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, the Dispenser of Peace. He promises you all that here and now and in the life to come, eternal life. And you too can and will be a part of this if you call on the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's one verse. It's one sentence, John 3:16. It's still there today for you to receive the promise. That's why the Bible says today. We've been emphasizing this in this church for 2 years, the word today in the Bible. That is today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but call on the name of the Lord Jesus today. And I leave you with this verse today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "We then, as workers together with him," speaking of Christ, "we plead with you also that you not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have heard you in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Nothing I can add to that. Now is the day of salvation. Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ today? We love to see you this Sunday morning at 10:30. We'll be looking at Moses. Until then, we'll be back again soon with another program here. You are listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.